It's Light the Tower.
Say goodnight to this one.
Your daily look around the world of sports with Horns 24/7 insider Jeff Howe on your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Light it up on a Wednesday here on Light the Tower, on the Horn, live, local, and digital, on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. I am Jeff Howe. Wherever you're listening, however you're listening, we just thank you so much for being a part of today's presentation. We have lost our way today. We'll get to that in just a minute. A lot to talk about. Got a Longhorn basketball loss last night to talk about. Texas women in action tonight. Talk plenty of Longhorn football. Winter conditioning is underway for Steve Sarkisian and company. I'm sure everybody saw Gary Patterson out at the basketball game last night. Still no official announcement from Texas. We'll get to some of that, though. He's been on campus. He's been involved helping Steve Sarkisian and company get ready for the 2022 season, so we'll talk about that. Your feedback is always welcome on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Don't forget to get over to Horns 24/7, our insider piece, weekly collection of news, notes, and nuggets. That piece normally posts on Thursday. It actually went live last night. Mike Roach had a big recruiting update, a big Mike at Night update last night that we will get to also throughout the show today. So get over to Horns 24/7 and that Longhorn Blitz podcast. If you missed it last night after Longhorn basketball here on the Horn, anywhere you get your podcasts, just search Horns 24/7. Click that follow button to get every episode of the Blitz along with the flagship and state recruiting. Don't forget to leave us a 5-star review. Speaking of side projects, other stuff that we've got going on. Actually, Horns 24/7 is a side project for me. That's actually a full-time gig. And I wouldn't consider this a side, kind of two full-time gigs I'm running here. A man who's also got multiple full-time gigs because, as Craig would say, in the final analysis, it's a flex. The publisher, curator, otherwise major domo of everything Flex ATX. FlexATX.com at FLXATX on Twitter and Instagram. He is the one and only Snoop Daniel. Snoop, how are you today,
sir? I think it finally clicked what he means by in the final analysis is a flex. I had to hear somebody else say it. Because when I go to break, that's how I throw it to break every time.
Yeah, you just say, it's a flex.
It's a flex. Boom. And then go. Oh, in the final analysis? Okay, I'm stupid. I'm slow and smart at the same time.
Snoop, very childlike is Snoop Daniel. Now, Snoop does a great job producing the show in addition to all he does with Flex ATX. All right, so tonight, 7 o'clock here on the Horn, right after RBKD, Snoop with Flex. You got Zach and Nolan with you this week?
Yeah, maybe Nolan. Nolan is here and there. Remember, Nolan is still only 20.
Yep.
When you're 20, you're kind of distracted in life. You know, like you do have your goals and dreams, but you also have... You're also 20 years
there
old.
There are other ambitions, yeah. Shall we say?
At 20. But it's good. He shows flash. I mean, his dad obviously has like the genes to do something
True.
Great, and he definitely flashes the potential. But he's 20, so also.
I want to shout him out though. Shout out one of your, helper. The right word, your cohorts, Flex ATX. Zach Lucero does a really good job. Zach does an awesome job, and he's really knowledgeable about the product with high school sports here in the area, as you are. So you guys do a really good job. I know you talked about it yesterday. What do you got on tap for the Flex tonight?
Well, just recapping what all happened last night and talking about soccer stuff. And as far as Zach, you know, like the young broadcasters, like they need somewhere to groom and to practice because it's hard to get in the radio. Well, not as hard anymore. People just don't want to work and don't pay great. But like, you know, our future talent, like Cameron Parker, who also runs the board here, Stephen Kabler.
Cameron produced Shirts and Skins earlier this week. Uh-huh. I think on Monday when Zay was out.
Yeah, I wouldn't say like Patrick Davis is a baby, but I would say as far as like getting in the broadcast game, he's still relatively young.
There are reps to be had if
correct.
You want to get them.
Yeah, you know. So who would be a veteran quarterback who hasn't had a lot of snaps? This would be, oh, God.
Like Chase Daniel?
Yes, great example. And maybe, you know, Patrick Davis is the Chase Daniel of the station.
I got
so,
you.
Anyway.
I got you. All right, so tonight on the Flex, what all you got?
Hoops, soccer, and 5A returning all district players in football.
Always talking football on the Flex. Always. It is a must. As I mentioned, Specs text line is open, 337-3776. We'll get to some news that we reported last night at Horns 24/7 with Cameron Dicker declaring for the NFL draft, making that official, moving on from Texas, so creating a hole. Just to get to a question on the Specs text line about that, no, that does not open up an extra initial counter spot. It does free up a scholarship spot, but not an extra initial counter spot. Texas, 33 initial counters is what Texas can add, and that is anybody receiving financial aid at your institution for the first time, but walk-ons don't count. So any walk-ons that earn scholarships, that doesn't count against your initial counters. And also blue shirts would not count against this year's total. That just takes away from your total for 2023. So a little numbers conversation here on Light the Tower. As I said, Longhorn Notebooks talking a lot of Texas football. We've got Texas basketball to talk about coming up here in a little bit. Inconceivable. Also, I know Bucky and Aaron mentioned it this morning, but this Eric Dickerson story, I don't think it surprises anybody, but we'll get to that in Inconceivable along with a few other items. So let's go ahead right now and talk about Longhorn basketball. Texas loses last night to K-State 66-65. And in the interest of full disclosure, last night was the rare Texas home basketball game I did not attend. So, Snoop, yesterday, or actually, what is this? Today's Wednesday.
Yeah, I thought today was Tuesday, actually.
Okay, so Monday afternoon, I went and got my COVID booster. Got the Moderna booster. And my left arm is still a little sore. The soreness at the injection site, for whatever reason, was worse than either of the first two shots I got. I don't know why, but it just was. Not that it was bad, but it was a noticeable difference. And, you know, there's all kinds of side effects with these shots. And I was feeling fine Monday night into yesterday. Snoop, you saw me yesterday doing the show. I did the blitz, came in here, and finished the show for
saved.
Craig.
Saved
Craig. I was fine yesterday, which, by the way, we'll get to that here in just a sec, too. I was feeling fine. Decided to run some errands. Shout out to Walt and the guys at Card Traders of Austin up north. I went and there's a card in there that I've been eyeballing, Snoop. So that was part of my errands yesterday to go. There's a Peyton Manning rookie card, just a paper Bowman rookie. I don't have any Peyton Manning.
What is he doing in it? I love
personal collection. It's the rookie photo shoot, so it's just kind of a, you know, just a drop back. He's dropping back to pass.
Okay.
Not a game shot, just kind of one of those staged photos, you know,
okay,
that you see on a lot of rookie cards. Yeah. So I went and I was running some errands. And then probably about 2:45, 3 o'clock yesterday, I started feeling it and just was not, didn't run a fever, but just didn't feel good. And tried to get up about 5 and showered, like, okay, maybe I can power through this and go to this basketball game. And then decided, no, that was not happening last night. So I ended up watching the game from home. Craig called the game last night. Now, if you listen to Light the Tower yesterday, what Craig really powered through hour number one. And Snoop, you were
Bucky helped too.
You were all kinds of concerned yesterday because very, very rarely I'll give everybody a peek behind the curtain. Craig, even when he's not feeling great, he hides it pretty well, at least in terms of how bad he's feeling. He doesn't sell anything. But yesterday, when I told him, hey, you know, blitz might run a little long, I'm going to be in there, you know, not at the start of the show. The text I got back from him let me know, like, oh, wow, Craig must be really not feeling well today. And he was not feeling it. I'm getting texts during the basketball game last night about, oh, man, Craig's voice is really bad. I'm like, yeah, he was not in great shape when he left yesterday. So, Craig, Snoop, at last check, he was trying to get in to see the doctor today.
This morning.
I texted him before the show. Don't know if he got in to see the doctor or not. I just checked my phone. I don't think I have any texts from Craig. Not yet. Okay, so neither of us have correspondence from Craig at this point in time. But so we'll keep you updated on Craig and his situation. Hope get better, Seaway, if you're listening. We need you back. Longhorn fans need you back calling basketball games. So I didn't go to the game last night. I watched it on TV, and this was a game where, man, you talk about a second half of a basketball game that can be equal parts encouraging and incredibly frustrating. There was a stretch, Snoop. And did you watch the game last night, Snoop?
I was filming, but...
Oh, yeah, I forgot you were Hoop Snoop last night.
Please, let me know.
But there was a stretch from pretty much about the 12-minute mark up until the 3:32 mark, right around 4.5, 3 minutes to go, when Marcus Carr made his last free throw, where Texas just started running the whole offense through Marcus Carr. Whether he was bringing the ball up, whether he's playing off the ball, they were running stuff for him, letting him create some ISO stuff, getting him free off of a high ball screen, doing a lot of different things to free him up to get buckets. And it was working, man. And Texas, you know, they got to the foul line a lot. They were aggressive offensively in that regard. Timmy Allen gets a bucket with 3:32 to go, and Texas is up 5 at that point. And the Longhorns didn't score again. That they went scoreless the last 3:32. Nigel Pack hit a jumper, and K-State started actually making foul shots down the stretch. Marquise Noel was really big for them down the stretch. Mark Smith played really well, had 22 points. It was Texas. It was kind of a microcosm of when they've lost games. The offense went cold at the absolute worst time, and they could not get a critical stop defensively. And I know, look, I feel like I'm a broken record when I say this. I know everybody's going to focus on the offense and that 3:32 scoring drought to end the game. But when you look at the losses Texas has had, Snoop, it's been various defensive lapses, defensive shortcomings in a lot of different areas that have cost them games. Like 65 points should be enough. I said this coming in here on Monday after the Iowa State game. 65 points should have been enough for Texas to win that basketball game last night. 70 points at Hilton Coliseum should have been enough for Texas to win that basketball game on Saturday. They scored 74 on the road at Gonzaga. In theory, that you got enough offense to win. But the Gonzaga game, and Seton Hall is kind of the exception because that was a nip-tuck game pretty much the whole way. A free throw differential was really big, at least Texas, in terms of the inability to get to the foul line. But like the Gonzaga game, they did not have an answer for Drew Timmy inside. They could not figure out Drew Timmy. In the Oklahoma State game, Oklahoma State really made Texas work on defense by pushing the ball and swinging the ball and trying to make Texas rotate properly, and that's when Texas gave up some open three-pointers. In the Iowa State game, we talked about it on Monday, Iowa State did such a great job sending cutters to the basket and taking advantage of how aggressive Texas plays man-to-man defense in a half court. Iowa State did a really good job last night. That on Saturday. Last night with the K-State game, it was just the Texas guards. And, you know, we'll see if we can find this audio. I know Zay played it this morning. Isaiah Collier did on B&E. I didn't hear the post-game until Zay played that cut this morning. About Chris Beard talking about how Texas kind of got punched in the mouth last night and I'm paraphrasing here, didn't respond all that well. That was my exact thought watching the game. Like, Kansas State, their guards did a great job. Nigel Pack, Marquise Noel, and Mark Smith did a great job of taking the fight to the Texas guards and being really aggressive, trying to beat them off the bounce and get to the basket. It resulted, I mean, K-State went to the line 16 times. They were only 9 of 16 from the foul line. They got to the line. They were aggressive. They just didn't make free throws. But there were a lot of times where you saw a K-State guard, any of those three guards, just blowing by a Texas defender and getting to the hole. And the way K-State was on the offensive glass last night, especially early on, I think in the first, by the second media timeout, I think K-State had 7 offensive rebounds and 6 second chance points. So that combination of the aggressiveness of the guards and their ability to win on the offensive glass against Texas, that stretch early where K-State kept themselves in the game, that added up in the end. And like I said, it's just been different defensive lapses, and that's the kind of stuff this Texas team, there's a lot Chris Beard has to get figured out with this team. And I know the word from the 40, the word from Chris Beard is it's a work in progress. They're working on it. Well, you're getting to about the time where the talk about being a work in progress needs to stop. And instead of being a work in progress, you just need to start making progress. And they took a really big step back last night. I know you can look at K-State's record and look at some of the games they've won and some of the performances they've had when they've been at full strength and say, okay, the record is a little bit deceiving. That said, that is a game Texas really, really needed to win last night. When you look at not just is this team, what seed in the NCAA tournament is this team going to get, but now you've got national analysts like Jeff Goodman looking at the eye test saying this does not look like an NCAA tournament team. And I'm telling you, we've talked about it all throughout the season. One thing that is going to hurt Texas is you have one of, if not the worst, non-conference schedules in the country. That's the kind of stuff the committee is going to look at. If you're not, if Texas finishes 500 in the league, it's a moot point. They're going to be in the tournament. But when you get to that 8-10 mark in conference play, now all that other stuff starts coming into play. And who did you beat? And what does your non-conference schedule look like? And Texas still, at this point, does not have a signature win. You're a third of the way with six Big 12 games in the books. You're a third of the way through. But you really needed that one last night, because here's the next six conference games for Texas. You ready for this, Snoop? This is like six. This isn't counting the game in just over in about a week and a half when Tennessee comes into the Irwin Center for the Big 12 SEC Challenge. Rick Barnes getting one last game at the drum. These are the next six Big 12 games for Texas. Oklahoma State at home on Saturday. Oklahoma State's already beaten Texas once this year. They're looking for the season sweep of Longhorns, just like Texas was looking to get over K-State last night. Then next Tuesday, Texas goes to Fort Worth to take on TCU. That's a TCU team that has played pretty good basketball. That I don't know where the net is right now. I haven't looked at the net rankings this morning, but that TCU game could end up being a quad one win for Texas if they could get it. And by the way, I don't know if you know this, Snoop, but Texas, after the Iowa State game, they were 0-4 in quad one games. They actually picked up a quad one win over the weekend, because Oklahoma now counts as a quad one win for Texas because the Sooners moved up in the net rankings. So you got K-State, you got Oklahoma State, and you got TCU. And I'm looking this morning, wow, Texas was 14 in net last night. Good Lord, where is Texas now? I'm trying to find Texas in the net rankings. Give me just a minute. This is interesting. Texas was 14 going into the game last night in the NCAA net rankings. Where are the Longhorns?
100.
I got to look at that during the break, because I can't find Texas right now. Maybe I got to be overlooking. No, there they are. They're at 19. I don't know how I overlooked that. And yes, Texas is 1-4 in quad one games. I apologize, everybody. I should have had that beforehand. So, again, the next six Big 12 games, you got Oklahoma State at home at TCU. Then you're at Texas Tech February 1st, and we all know the kind of environment Texas is going to walk into in that game. Then you come back home to face Iowa State, who you've already lost to. Then you host Kansas, and then you go to Waco to play Baylor. That's your next six Big 12 games. Does anybody listening to this show right now, or Snoop Daniel, you've been a Texas basketball fan, does anybody have confidence right now that after the next six Big 12 games that Texas will be 500 in the league? I don't. I don't know how anybody could. That's why last night's game was so pivotal to where this team wants to be. I don't even think you can talk about competing for a Big 12 championship right now, but you just got to worry about getting your stuff together, getting rotations figured out, figuring out what's going to get some guys motivated. Like Andrew Jones, he was great on offensively in the Iowa State game, terrible defensively. Last night didn't give you much of anything. Courtney Ramey last night didn't give you much of anything. I've talked about it. Snoop, we keep talking about it. For Texas to win, two of the three starting guards have to give you really good games. We got 25 from Marcus Carr last night. Marcus Carr was awesome offensively down the stretch. Andrew Jones and Courtney Ramey combined to go 4-for-14 from the floor. Jones finished with 5 points. Ramey finished with 5 points. They were 1-for-8 combined from three-point range. That's not going to get it done. And the front court inconsistency, again, Chris Beard had to talk about that again last night. Trey Mitchell, 9 points in 11 minutes. Dylan Dessou, no points, 1 rebound in 7 minutes for Dylan Dessou. Christian Bishop, 2 points, 8 boards. He did have 3 assists in 24 minutes. Bishop gave them a lot last night. But you didn't get anything at all from Dessou for the most part. And, you know, again, 11 minutes last night for Trey Mitchell. It's just one of those deals. Again,
is he still working his way back?
Man,
11 minutes.
I would like to think not, because he's coming up on a year removed from the injury. But man, there were
COVID. I mean, he was out for a bit for COVID.
There were a couple of times where he offensively, I think defensively, you see enough from him to where I feel like he should be playing more. Offensively, what's got me concerned with him, Snoop, because there was a couple of times. One in particular, he catches the ball on the block and makes a pivot move, and it just looked just kind of slow and clunky. Like, that's not what we've seen from Dylan Dessou throughout his college career. So I don't know if it's just him still getting acclimated to things or what it is, but Chris Beard's talked about it. The eye test shows you they've got to get more consistency from the front court, and they've got to have at least one of those other guards step up to help Marcus Carr. So, again, it's a Texas team still trying to figure some things out, but you're running out of time right now to get it figured out. It's just got to happen. You got to go. You got to make it happen. Otherwise, you're going to be looking up, and you're going to be really pushing that boulder up the hill in Big 12 play because your schedule, as I just laid out, does not get any easier.
I have the answer.
What's the answer?
Play Tristan Lacombe.
Well, they did. They did play him last night.
No.
He played 3 minutes last night, and I powered through helping run the game thread at Horns 24/7 last night because my colleague Chip Brown, Chip covered the game. Again, I just watched from home.
That doesn't do itself by itself?
What?
It doesn't just, like, populate the thread?
Oh, no, it does. Like, the conversation is there, but I just like to keep the conversation going. I like to do my part. But somebody asked, you know, hey, Andrew Jones isn't playing well on defense. Do you think Chris Beard has recognized that? I said, I think the fact that Tristan Lacombe is getting critical minutes tells you exactly what Chris Beard thinks about some of these guards and the effort or lack thereof they're giving defensively at times. So a lot to unpack for the Longhorns coming off of a pretty crushing loss. That's about as bad of a loss as Texas could have taken in this first portion of the Big 12 schedule. 66-65 going down last night to Kansas State. We'll take a break, come back, switch gears, and talk a little Texas football, specifically some early enrollees that are on campus, and how might they help the Longhorns this spring? How might the product, once you get to the spring game on April 23rd, how might things look a little different with some of these newcomers? We'll take a break. We'll talk about that when we come back on Light the Tower, on the Horn, live, local, and digital, on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
These days have...
Back here on Light the Tower, on the Horn, live, local, and digital, on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Jeff Howe, Snoop Daniel, Craig Way is out. Craig, so here's the deal. Craig is not going to be able to call the Texas women's game tonight. It's Texas at Iowa State. He will not be able to call that game. Dave Garrett is going to fill in for him and call that game. You can hear that on 105.3 The Bat. 6:15 pregame, 6:30 tip, Texas at Iowa State. Dave Garrett on the call. Craig is dealing with the throat issue. I know everybody heard Craig coughing on Monday. He's really trying to power through it. So he actually just texted me during the break. So, Craig, if you're listening, get better. Everybody wants you back with the headset and microphone on, calling Longhorn games as only you can do. I say this all the time, Snoop, and I'll say this just because he's a friend and a broadcast partner. Texas fans should be really thankful that they have Craig calling games. Because especially, you know, at a time when I had Sirius XM, and if I got a rental car and I've got Sirius XM and I'm on the road and I'm listening to various college football games across the country, boy, there are just some homer, slappy announcers that, honestly, man, if you're like an alum or a fan of that school, you'd almost be embarrassed to hear some of the play-by-play or color calls. Not the case when you're talking about Craig and Roger and Will doing a doing Longhorn football. So, Texas fans, be thankful that you've got Craig in your corner. Before we get to the Longhorn Notebook and talk Texas football again, we're going to talk early enrollees and looking at just a handful of guys that I think are going to make a difference in spring once we get to the spring game, April 23rd. You'll be able to see some of these guys in action, and these are positions of need for Texas. We've got plenty of Texas football to talk about, including at the top of next hour, the Longhorn Notebook next hour. We'll talk Gary Patterson and some other transfer type stuff. Texas still looking to add bodies in the portal. We'll get to all of that throughout the day. But I do want to get to some of your questions on the Specs text line, 337-3776. Again, first segment, we talked a lot of Texas basketball and talking about the loss last night to K-State. Jeff Mudd texts in, says he agrees defensive breakdowns in critical spots have cost the Longhorns. Stoner made a good point. Stanford beating USC could help Texas in terms of non-conference strength schedule. Anything, Stoner, at this point would help. Golf Lingo makes a good point. UT looks scared to miss shots or mess up, which is making them miss shots and mess up. They stiff enough and don't have a go-to player down the stretch to take over. I would disagree about having the go-to player to take over. That's clearly Marcus Carr. Marcus Carr needs the ball in his hands late in games. But I felt this about Texas. I felt like there are times where guys sometimes offensively are hunting the perfect shot and passing up good shots. I feel like that's the case that we see sometimes. A UT B-ball guy notes that Dylan Dessou is a 38% career three-point shooter. He's not shooting the three ball at this point. I would say he's just got to get an opportunity to do that. Maybe he's not a back-to-the-basket guy. And that's what's interesting. I made this observation, Snoop, and I don't know how the listening audience would take this, but I'm about to find out. If you look at the way Shaka Smart wanted to play half-court offense, I think the personnel that Chris Beard has is almost better suited for that. It's a lot of ISO stuff, a lot of spread pick and roll, because Texas does have big. Now, last year, Kai Jones, Greg Brown, they could step out and shoot a little bit, but the strength of that Texas front court last year was Texas might have had the most athletic front court in the country last year, Gonzaga included, when you talk about Jericho Sims and Kai Jones and Greg Brown. That's three pogo sticks that can go play above the rim. This year it's a little bit different because with Timmy Allen and Dylan Dessou and even Christian Bishop to an extent, you've got some bigs that can legitimately stretch the floor and step out and shoot a little bit. So if you want to play some spread pick and roll and pick and pop a guy off of a ball screen, you can do some of that stuff. So I don't know. And then obviously in the ISO game, that really fits what Marcus Carr wants to do. Andrew Jones and Courtney Ramey are clearly comfortable in that. So I don't know. There's just a disconnect somewhere on offense right now. I don't know if it's the pieces don't fit what Chris Beard wants to do, if there's a lack of belief, a lack of uncertainty on the part of the players. I don't know what it is, but there's just a disconnect right now offensively for Texas. Maybe that stretch again last night from about the 12-minute mark to about the 4-minute mark. Now, that 8-minute stretch of play last night in the second half where they just ran everything through Marcus Carr, maybe that can be something that they take forward and spin forward as a positive to really get them going on offense. Texter asks, why no Jace Febres? He gives great three-pointers when critical, because Jace Febres right now is shooting about 32% from three right now, and he's coming off the knee injury. Didn't attempt a shot last night, and he took one in the Iowa State game, an open look at a corner three. It clanged off the side of the rim, and honestly, man, if Jace Febres is not hitting open three-pointers, and I love Jace Febres, there's probably not a spot for him in a rotation if he's not able to knock down open threes. That's what he's on the floor to do. So there's a little Texas basketball talk. And man, I mentioned how thankful Longhorn fans are to have Craig and why there's some slappy homer announcers. I should have known that was going to invite a flurry of Dave South texts into the show. Please just refrain from sending your Dave South texts. And Dave's retired. Just let it go. Go find another opposing announcer to beat up on. All right, Snoop, let's go ahead.
Guy.
What?
Dave South, he was actually my first sports mentor because I worked at the Aggie station, honestly, in town for like 13 years. And right before I did my first like Westlake football play-by-play, which I don't know how I got that gig. That was my first radio gig, but Dave South basically gave me like a tutoring and mentorship for like an hour.
Okay. We gotta go time out here on the Longhorn Notebook. I didn't know, Snoop, that you worked so closely with Dave South.
Yeah.
Give me what is your best Dave South story?
Oh, you're going to say Dave South impression.
I mean, if you want to do a Dave South impression, you can.
No, I can't. Well, you know, what's
your best Dave South story from working with Dave South?
He was nice. I don't know. I was about to say something probably I shouldn't say about an opinion from somebody about him, but to me, he was cool.
Okay.
I don't know.
So
you like the Aggies?
Just file that away. Dave South was good to Snoop. And you know what? Anybody that's good to Snoop is they're all right.
His main thing for me, he's like, now listen, remember, when you're listening to the radio, you can't see anything. So you have to constantly say the time and down. You are their eyes. And so if you don't know what to say, just say the time and down and you'll be just fine.
Boy, you are going to mark that. And I don't know if that's going to be a promo, but that's going to be on the drop page for other shows on this station to use. Snoop doing a Dave South impression. All right, we put it off long enough. Let's go ahead and get to the notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
We reported this in Horns 24/7 last night, and it is official now. Cameron Dicker has declared for the NFL draft. He makes that official. And I'll tell you what, you look at Texas from a special team standpoint. I promise I won't belabor the point and talk too much special teams on this show. But you look at the Texas special teams, and for 4 years, Cameron Dicker became a really good punter. I felt he got more consistent as a place kicker as a senior. And in terms of the snaps, Texas fans and media members, those following the games, those watching games, nobody that had a dog in a fight when it comes to Texas and watched this team week in and week out worried about snaps for 4 years because of Justin Mauter. Now with Justin Mauter moving on, getting ready for the NFL, Cameron Dicker is going to go ahead and get ready for the NFL, going to forego his extra year of eligibility. You've got two monster pieces to replace from a special teams unit that, according to Bill Connolly and those SP Plus numbers at ESPN, had the eighth best special teams unit in the country, Texas did last year. We talk about this on the Blitz all the time, Snoop. One question Matt and Rod and myself that we've asked each other, and I know I've talked about it on the show a little bit, like what aspects, players, anything you want to categorize it as, what got better for Texas as the year went on? From start to finish, what improved? I think Xavier Worthy, you can find certain players, but there's not a ton. I say the one unit, without question, that got better from start to finish, but Texas was really, really good in the kicking game. And there were even some of those losses, take out the fake punt call against Baylor. There were some of those losses, like the Iowa State game, where the kicking game helped keep you in the game until it got away from you. Texas was really good in special teams, and you tip your cap to Jeff Banks for that. Texas, you know, I said this earlier in the year, or before the start of the season, and I really believed it, and it came true, proved to be true. When you look at the amount of good size speed ratios, the amount of athleticism on this roster, Texas should, at the very least, Texas should have average coverage in return units. And, you know, the Texas return game, quite honestly, it was pretty average. I don't think it was great, but it didn't cost Texas games this year. Like, we saw special teams under Tom Herman, and good Lord, especially under Charlie Strong, we saw special teams at times cost Texas ball games. Special teams did not cost Texas ball games last year. It kept Texas in a number of games, but now we've known Texas is going to have to replace Justin Mauter, and now for sure Texas having to replace Cameron Dicker. He ends his collegiate career as one of the most successful kickers in Texas history. I'm reading this straight from the media release that Texas sent out about 5 minutes ago. In 49 games, scored 386 points for the Longhorns, the most points ever by a Texas kicker, and the third most among any position in program history. He's UT's career leader in field goals made, tied for first in career attempts, second all-time in extra points made and attempted, and fourth in career field goal accuracy at 75.9%. So, Snoop, this is a guy you saw a lot of in high school. Dicker the kicker, also has a soccer background.
Yes.
And now that he's officially declared for the NFL draft, I see it on the Specs text line. A lot of Cowboys fans saying that needs to be a move the Cowboys make at some point in the 2022 draft. And trust me, as a Cowboys fan, I hope we have seen the last of Greg the Leg trying to boot home field goals for the Dallas Football Cowboys.
I'll tell you what, it ain't in the numbers, Jeff. His Dicker the Kicker's cultural impact. I mean, kids love, I've met, probably because of his name, but little kids love Cameron Dicker.
I really wish, selfishly, I wish Cameron Dicker had a full 4 or 5 years to take advantage of name, image, and likeness. Because can you imagine after he hit that field goal in the OU game in 18 to win the game?
That's smart.
The kind of NIL deals that could have come his way?
I hope he pops.
What might have been?
Pop the question to Annie, Cameron. That's deeper. That's
a deep cut right there.
That's a deep 24/7 after hours.
All right. So Cameron Dicker moving on. Let's talk some early enrollees. Saw this on the Specs text line a little bit ago. Dre Bledsoe. There has been some conflicting information. He is not enrolling early. If you look at the release Texas had in December when the class signed, he was listed as an early enrollee. Not going to be able to enroll early. He's going to try to enroll with everybody else. He's on track to do that, enroll with everybody else in the summer. But when you look at the early enrollees for Texas, obviously when you talk about transfers, Ryan Watts, the Ohio State corner, transferring in, and I'll get to that position here in just a second. But Quinn Ewers being on campus, it's really interesting, Snoop, how much things can change in a year. Like at this time last year, Hudson Card was comparing him to Casey Thompson. He was, you know, the young blue chip quarterback that a lot of Longhorn fans felt like had the natural talent to lead this team to really special things. He ends up winning the quarterback battle, and we know how the 21 season played out. And now, man, the shoe is almost on the other foot. Hudson Card, I think there's a lot of Longhorn fans that are maybe ready to move on or just have kind of anointed Quinn Ewers as QB1. That's still going to be a battle, but I do like the fact that you've got – because we shouldn't lose sight of the fact that Hudson Card, in terms of just the tools to play the position, has everything you could want in a quarterback. And we saw at times that was an extremely frustrating thing last year in the West Virginia game when he came in relief of Casey Thompson when Casey was dealing with a thumb. And Hudson Card played so well, threw the touchdown pass to Xavier Worthy, looked like he was getting into a rhythm, looked like you could see he was gaining some of his confidence back. And then he suffers the ankle injury and has to leave the game, and that did end his season. So Quinn Ewers coming in to battle it out with Hudson Card for the right to be QB1 for the Longhorns. I mentioned Ryan Watts, the Ohio State transfer, coming in. You've got some pretty heavy hitters in the secondary with Ryan Watts, Terrence Brooks at corner. Speaking of Quinn Ewers transfer from Ohio State, Ryan Watts transferring from Ohio State, Texas flips Terrence Brooks from Ohio State. Sark getting all these recruiting wins over Ohio State, portal and otherwise. Terrence Brooks coming in. Jalen Gilbo had a really good week down at the All-American Bowl in San Antonio. Those guys are going to replenish the pipeline at corner. And then you've got B.J. Allen from Aledo coming in at that safety position. That secondary, you know, wasn't that long ago. You go back and look at that 2018 class. On paper, might have been the best DB haul any program has signed in the dot-com era of recruiting. We talk about Caden Stearns and B.J. Foster, DeMarvian Overshown, Deshaun Jameson, Jalen Green. You've only got one of those guys in the program in 2022, and that's Deshaun Jameson, who's back for another year. So kind of a changing of the guard this spring at corner. And then B.J. Allen at safety, though. We talked about that safety position, man. You look at the last 14 months or so, you've lost a lot of bodies at that safety position. Chris Brown, Caden Stearns, your B.J. Foster, Chris Adamora. You moved Brendan Schooler there last year. Now he's gone. Tyler Owens transferred out. That's six guys I just mentioned at that safety position. So you really need to infuse that group with some young talent. From what I've heard, I think this staff likes what they've got with a young guy in J.D. Coffey. But B.J. Allen has a really good opportunity to come in and get playing time right off the bat. Justice Finkley along the defensive line. We talked about those edge positions. Texas unable to find an edge guy in the portal to come in for the spring. O'Shawn Mathis is a guy that Texas really likes, and they're going to keep recruiting. But he's going to stay at TCU throughout. He's going to finish the spring semester and then enroll at his school of choice coming up in the summer. So Texas will still recruit O'Shawn Mathis. But right now, the focus for Pete Kwiatkowski is getting Justice Finkley in and finding out what you got with some of these young guys. Now you're going to be forced to figure out with a Prince Dorba and a DJ Harris and a Jordan Thomas what you got with some of these young edge guys now that you don't have a Ray Thornton or a Ben Davis, some of those veteran guys you took out of the portal last year to kind of be a stopgap bridge type guys. You don't have that luxury now, though. Some of those young guys on the edge are going to have to sink or swim. And Justice Finkley, who we talk about All-Star games, had a really good week down in Florida at the Under Armour game. Justice Finkley, coming in as an early enrollee, as a spring enrollee, he's going to have a chance to come in and make an impact along that defensive front. Sukumo on the Specs text line brings up Malik Murphy. Malik Murphy was dealing with an injury coming off of his senior year, so that's why I haven't been, you know, pushing Malik Murphy as a competitor. Not that he's not talented or not good enough to compete for that job. It's just there is some injury rehab that he's going to have to work through and kind of work his way back. So we'll see where he is as winter conditioning gets kicked off. But, yes, Malik Murphy is also on campus right now. And the other early enrollee I wanted to mention was Cole Hudson along the offensive line. All these offensive linemen that Texas took, and, again, they're playing the long game with offensive line in terms of just they're going to try to develop and get the most out of these high school recruits, this big, and again, they're still recruiting Devon Campbell, the five-star offensive lineman out of Arlington Bowie. But Cole Hudson out of Frisco, an interior guy, he's the only one of those offensive linemen that's going to be on campus this spring, going through spring drills. And look, there's an opportunity for Cole Hudson to maybe go win a job, because you look at those guard positions, Junior Anguilau's back. Tope Amade's not. Denzel Okafor's not. So there's a chance. He got Hayden Connor competing there. Hayden Connor worked some tackle last year. So could be a really good spring for Cole Hudson to try to make a move up that depth chart before the rest of the 2022 offensive line class gets on campus. And maybe, maybe if Texas gets him, they add Devon Campbell to that mix coming up in the summer. Take a break. Come back. Inconceivable is next as we close out hour number one here on Light the Tower on the Horn, live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Snoop Daniel, Light the Tower.
Inconceivable. Inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
Inconceivable.
You keep using that word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
All right, we got two for Inconceivable. I mentioned this earlier. I won't go too deep into this. You can throw this in the Google machine and get a lot of the nitty-gritty of it yourself. But and Bucky and Aaron mentioned this morning. This is another reason why I won't go too far into it. But Eric Dickerson, Snoop, do you ever see the SMU 30 for 30, the Pony Excess 30 for 30?
Yes.
Okay, it's one of the better.
Yeah,
not,
absolutely.
Aren't that many bad 30 for 30s, but that one is one of the better ones. Eric Dickerson has finally come clean about the Gold Trans Am. The Gold Trans Am that just magically showed up one day, and everybody has long called out Texas A&M boosters for providing the Trans Am. Eric Dickerson apparently has released a memoir, I'll Watch My Smoke, the Eric Dickerson story. It came out, it was released on Tuesday. And he peels back the curtain on what really happened with Trans Am. As it turns out, this is a quote I'm reading from D Magazine, Snoop. Turns out he wasn't lying. It also wasn't close to the whole truth. So basically, Eric Dickerson finally admits that the Trans Am was purchased by a Texas A&M booster. It, for years, and even in the 30 for 30, remember, he said that his grandma bought the car.
My grandma bought this for me.
And even Richard Justice, who, I forget which Dallas Times Herald, I forget where Richard Justice was working at the time, God. He said he checked the bank records, and his grandma was listed as the finance, as her name was on the title. But, yes, Eric Dickerson has finally come clean that Texas A&M provided the Trans Am. So there you go.
A gold Trans Am?
A gold Trans Am. You got to remember, man, back in, what was that, 1979? That Trans, yes, the Trans A&M, as Ron Meyer called it in the documentary. The Trans Am, because of Smokey and the Bandit, that was the car back in the day. I actually really like the way that Trans Am looks, too.
Were you
a big Smokey and the Bandit fan, Snoop?
No, I don't know. I don't know if they fell in the Jesus line.
Burt Reynolds probably was not top of mind for your parents. He's probably on the naughty list for your parents.
Probably. I don't know. Michael Landon, he was a good one.
Yeah. Okay. It's kind of like, you know, Kirk Cameron is one of those types today.
Yes. Kirk Cameron. I remember, though, but, like, he was always on the cover of Bop, which is, like, you know.
Who, Kirk Cameron was?
Yeah. He was, like, a teen.
One of those teen idols.
Because
yeah.
He was on Growing Pains, right?
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, so there you can, again, I won't belabor the point. You can go throw it in the Google machine and read about Eric Dickerson. All right, Snoop, we're not going to Florida, but we're going to somewhere pretty close that can have some obscene stories from time to time. We're going north of the Red River to the state of Oklahoma, where a pastor is getting some flack online for what many have deemed an unhygienic sermon on Sunday. A video which has gone viral shows Pastor Michael Todd of Transformation Church in the Tulsa suburb of Bixby appearing to rub his own spit on the eyes of a churchgoer. Quote, receiving vision from God might get nasty, Todd says before the act. Audience members can be heard gasping in shock. Quote, do you hear and see the responses of the people, Todd says. What I'm telling you is how you just reacted is how people in your life will react when God is doing what it takes for the miracle. The video quickly spread online Sunday, with many expressing disgust. Fox News has reached out to Transformation Church for comment and will update this story accordingly. On Monday, Todd took to Twitter to apologize, saying it was never his intention to, quote, distract others from God's word and the message of Jesus, even with illustrations. Quote, I watched the sermon back and it was disgusting. That was gross. This is one Twitter response. This is actually Todd. He said, quote, I watched it back and it was disgusting. That was gross. I want to validate everybody's feelings. That was a distraction from what I was really trying to do. I was really trying to make the word come alive and for people to see the story. But yesterday, it got too live. Snoop, I have been to many different denominations of churches.
Mm-hmm.
I've been to many different services. I don't think I've ever been to church that I can recall off the top of my head where the preacher, pastor, whoever is up on the pulpit doing his thing has ever secreted a bodily function on a member of the congregation. Have you?
No.
That a negative?
No. Negative, yeah. Ghost Rider. We keep our liquids
keep your,
to
keep
ourselves.
Keep your liquids to yourself. Yeah. Is the moral of the story.
That's
today.
That's what God commanded.
There you go. There you have it. That's what Snoop...
Unless you're married.
That's the kind of stuff Snoop Daniel is here for, folks. All right, that's going to do it for hour number one. Hour number two of Light the Tower coming up next here on The Horn, live, local, and digital on The Horn app and at hornfm.com.